What's up, peeps? I'm Mark Zalmanoff, and I'm here to help you make good choices.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest edition of the Make Good Choices podcast. I am your host, Mark the Fitness Ninja Zalmanoff, your favorite friendly neighborhood fitness ninja and author. I hope you guys are having a great day today. Before we get rolling, please do me a favor. Subscribe to this, leave a five-star review, let other people know, you know, share this on the socials, tag it on Instagram, because we're trying to help other people make good choices as well. That's how we change the world. So go do those things. And today I have an extra special guest. I always have special guests, but today is an extra special guest, and I'm going to tell you why. So I met this, I'm going to call him a young man. I met this young man in my Apex network, and he is one of those guys that when he opens his mouth and starts to talk, you shut up and listen. And the reason you're going to find out why very soon. The reason is he is so full of wisdom, and he's been around for a little bit. So he's seen a few things. But he's just, you know, he's that guy. He's the guy that he starts talking and go, "Ooh, I'm going to learn something." And I think that people like that are so rare, and I'm blessed to have this platform to be able to share this with you guys. So let me give you just a little background here. This man married his high school sweetheart. He still dates her every day. I love it. For the past 47 years, he's been married for 42 of those. They have two sons, two grandchildren, spent quite a few years in corporate America, has been self-employed for 25 years, loves the outdoors. And this is what I really love to hear. He says, "I feel the most important thing in business is people, people, people." And I wholeheartedly agree with that. Most of his businesses are tied to real estate and the needs of homeowners, which is a very servant mindset, which again, I love that. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Sammy Knight. Welcome, Sammy.
Thank you. What an honor. I appreciate you having me.
Man, I love it. So I always start off with one question, and then we'll just kind of go from there and see where this road takes us. So what I would like for you to share with the listeners is, who is Sammy?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, I'm a country boy from a small town in Mississippi that I grew up playing sports and all that. I probably ate more at the table than I was supposed to. So I'll play football like tackle or something, you know. But early on, I was very, very self-conscious about the way I looked, the way I talked, the way I dressed. I came from a working class home, and, you know, my dad worked hard and my mother worked hard, and I had two sisters and a brother, and I was an extremely shy individual. And about the time I'm going to say 15 or so, I realized that I'm going to have to do something different, because if I stay sheepish and in the corner, I'll never accomplish anything. And I wasn't the smartest kid in class. I wasn't the guy you're going to come to and say, "Hey, I'm thinking about starting a business, and it's going to have something to do with technology. Would you be interested?" I wasn't that guy. I just wasn't that guy. And along the way, for whatever reason — I believe God does things for a reason. I'm a firm believer in that. Along the way, I met a girl, and that young lady, we were 16 years old. I was 15 when I first saw her, and we were 16 years old. And I'll never forget, when I saw her, I thought, "Man, I sure would like to meet that girl," but I was too shy to go up to her, you know? Yeah. And so the lady that was cutting my hair at that time, I was sitting down at her in her chair, getting my hair cut a week or so later. And I, for the first time ever, I'd looked at the picture she had on her bookshelf, and I was like, "Hey, that's the girl. Do you know that girl? She's got a picture of this girl." I said, "You know that girl?" She said, "Yeah, it's my daughter."
Oh, I love it.
And I said, I didn't know you had that for a daughter. And she said, yeah, that's my daughter. And I said, I want to take her out. And she said, oh, no. She's kind of spoken for. There's somebody that's been seeing her and all that. And I said, he don't know that I want to take her out yet, I guess. And I'm just getting brazen about this, you know. And this is a girl, I would have never done that before that. And this is a girl that I just want to get to know her. Long story short, shortening it up a little bit, I got a chance to meet her. She was dating another guy, and for my benefit, that stopped, and I asked her out. You know, the second, I was like a vulture sitting on a limb. The second I heard they were done, I went, doo! And I swooped in, and the second date I had with her, I told her I loved her. Buddy, you'd have thought I was coming at her with a knife. Her face was like, oh, what do I say? You know, but I did. I just didn't know I did. And, yeah. And from that moment forward, this level of comfort came across me that I wasn't afraid of nothing. I don't know why, but all I can tell you is she appeared in my life, and she's been my foundation since then. And look, nobody on this podcast or out there in the world of life has screwed up more than I have. And when you find that right one, that foundation brings you back every time. And all my screw ups, she brought me back every time, but gave me that strength to take that chance. I didn't graduate college. I went to junior college and then got married and said, boy, I better go to work. So I went to work, and the job I had was something I thought I'd do forever. And 4 years into it, I lost my job. And there I was, you know, naked with the world and a wife, and what am I going to do, you know? And so I had to change my direction, and I had to adjust. And I was going into a world, this would have been in the 80s, 83, I think. And I was embarking in a world where a 4-year college degree, if you didn't have that, you really didn't have anything.
Yeah.
And I didn't have that. And so I started applying for jobs against people with a 4-year college degree. And I felt like, you know, with what I've got supporting me, if I can just get in that door. And so I started networking. You know, the job I really hit that was a good one was in the food business. And I started networking everybody I may have known that had a grocery store. And then those people happened to know the guy that was going to make the final decision at this food business, and got them to put in a good word. So I had to work the system in a different fashion than anybody else. And then once I got in there, I had to do things different. And I had to find that network of people that supported me enough that allowed me to do those things a little different. Yeah. And so along the way, I've had a lot of people say, you know, they take a chance on me, and they gave me a shot. And I feel like part of the successes I've had is because of those chances they gave me. So it's my job to give that back and help somebody else, you know. I'll never forget when I was younger, my dad and I went to a funeral of a person that we knew here in our hometown. And we were standing there, and they had his headstone all done, and they had good father, good son, good family man, you know, just inscribed in the headstone. And I was reading it. My dad said, you know, son, my dad was just a hardworking man, but brilliant in his own way. He said, one day you're going to leave this world. And he said, all those things that I just, that are on that headstone are going to mean something. He said, but what's really going to mean something is if you leave everything you learned here so the next generation can improve on it. And that's just the way I believe. That's the way I was raised. And that's what I want to do now. Past that level, I'm not job hunting anymore, you know.
That's good.
I'm way past that youthful approach.
I love it. So, I love it. That's you know, knowledge is all we really have, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, what we all have between our ears is what's real. So I want to ask you, and I contemplate this a lot, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. So when I hear this story, you have something innate in you that says, take a chance, push, put yourself out there. Okay, you lost your job, go find something and be willing to compete against others who maybe on paper look better than you, but there's something about you. You even said people have been willing to take a chance on you. And I don't think that's by chance. I think that's something about you that they look and they see and they go, all right, I think there's something there. So do you believe that you can teach that type of drive? Because I really struggle with that thought process of, can you teach somebody to be, you know, willing to get uncomfortable and willing to put themselves out there? Because like you said, once you found your wife when you were 15, 16 years old, and ever since then, you just go, you act. So do you think you can really teach someone that type of skill and that type of mindset?
I think, I don't know if you can actually teach it. I think it's in everybody. I think what you have to do is pull it out of them. And, you know, I've had a lot of people along the way that I've hired, I've trained, you know, unfortunately, sometimes they fire themselves but a lot of young folks. And so I've spent a lot of time sitting down with them and talking to them about, you know, who are you? Where do you want to go? Talk to me about your past and dig in there. And once you find that little nugget, then you start building on it. And you just pound on that one thing that's that magic nugget. You know, I'll give you an example. I have some young folks that work for me today. There's a lady that's a real estate agent that's with us, and she's been in the business for about 8 months. I spent just a little time with her right out of the gate, and she was working in a salon and was going to leave the salon and start her real estate career. And she really kind of had in her mind what tomorrow would hold. And she wanted to work hard and all that. But I told her, I said, what's the one thing inside your body that means something to you that you're proud of, that you'll be willing to share with others? And she said, I care about people. I said, then go show them that. So her first move, she didn't have a job now, no cash. Her first move was to take $50. And she went down to the local hospital and she fed the first line folks. And all she could do was give them a little sandwich with her $50, and she fed 8 of them. And then she took a picture of herself with it and she posted that. It was like watching magic, you know? So she used the strength she really had to reach out there and do the things that might intimidate most. So yeah. I think what we have to do is find your inner strength. Everybody's got it, you know? We just got to stop running from it. You know what I mean? That fear factor runs too many off. And heck, last month she had 10 closings. She's only been doing this for 8 months.
That's not bad.
Oh, she's a shining star.
I love it.
But I don't think it's teaching. I think we as leaders and managers have to dig that out, because a lot of people, young folks especially, don't realize they have it. They want to emulate somebody else and say, well, so-and-so did it this way and I'm going to do it that way. Well, so-and-so's personality is a little different.
Yeah.
So-and-so went this path and I think I'm going to do the exact same thing and go buy a big fast boat and I'm going to go hang out at the boat ramp, and so-and-so's different, you know? So how do you apply that inside? And I think the teaching is teaching them how to pull it out. It's in there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's really in there. It's like watching you with some of the folks in Apex, and the fact that you're in the fitness business, I can sit in that crowd and watch you with all the folks. And I'm like, that guy's in the fitness business, not because he's trying to be in some competition. He's in the fitness business because he cares, because he wants to help these people be better. And you're reaching in and pulling the same thing out. It's just in a little different arena. Yep. And you're making these people without them knowing they're doing it, you know, like Thomas the other day, feel bad about dragging around and not going in because we had had a long weekend. You made him feel bad enough in here that he dug in that gut and he came out and he said, I'm going to do it, but I hate you, but I'm going to do it. You know,
it's a common theme.
Well, it is. And so I go back to what I always say is the second you stop valuing people, you stop helping them. The second you stop helping them, they get distracted and they go off a bad path. And sometimes they go too far and they can't get back or they don't know how to get back. And corporate America, I experienced that. Corporate America is a great place to be. I just wish there's elements they could change that would understand the most valuable resource we have is people.
Right.
And so I think if you value people, you don't have to teach anybody anything. It comes out. It just appears, you know? So I guess that's a long answer to your question, but I don't believe you teach it. I think you value them and then pull it out and let them teach themselves.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great perspective. And, you know, you something you touched on that kind of sparked something in my head, a lot of it is fear. A lot of it, people are just afraid of putting themselves out there. You know, like there's so many people that sing really, really well. And there's so few that actually go sing because they're afraid to be judged. They're afraid what people are going to say. But in the reality of it, we all get judged anyway. So why yeah. not go do the thing that you want to do and be happy and joyful with it? Yeah. I love that approach of pulling it out of people. It's so, and it's so true. You know, I see it in my coaching experience over all these years. And I'm sure, you know, the God knows how many people you've mentored and brought up underneath you that you've done that same thing for other people. And
you know what the, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, there's that old quote of like, people don't, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, if we ever as a society put the value back where it belongs, let's use Apex as an example. What if everybody in there, and you know, everybody's there for a reason. They're looking for something, right?
Right.
They're not there because they're coming in with their thumb and suspenders and going, I'm looking for something. I'm there because I'm looking for something. I've been in business a lot of different places, in a lot of different parts of the world. And I'm 63 years old. I'm looking for something, but looking for is somebody that I can help. And in so doing that, I'm going to learn. And I'm learning something every day, man. I went down to the hunting camp with those guys. I learned something from every single one of them. And nobody got cornered or said, okay, it's your turn. Come on in here. Your appointment's here. Sit down so I can talk to you. It was, we just sat around the table or rode around the truck and, you know, somebody had the stage and they were talking and it was like, oh, man, let me hear this out. But now it all had value. So I learned something and I'm the old guy in the room, you know? And if I can do it at my age, knowing what I know, these young folks need to learn how to do it too, because they're all there, young and old, middle-aged and all, they're all there looking for something. And we got to help them find it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Absolutely. And you know, what you're talking about is having what they call beginner's mind. You know, you can't learn that which you think you already know. So
yeah.
When you're around those, you know, and I know the group of guys you're talking about, when you're around people like that, when you're around our Apex family, when you're around your family, your friends, your employees, whoever it is, there's opportunities to learn. And as long mm-hmm. as, you know, we stay open-minded to that, there's lessons everywhere. And I think that's the problem is most people just aren't open-minded, or they think, you know, they either think they know it all or they've just settled in this place of life where they're like, it's good enough.
Yeah.
They miss out on the fulfillment of what's really available to all of us.
Yeah. I really am enjoying Apex from the standpoint of just seeing people touch each other. You know, we speak about the Dream 25, and I said something to you earlier that Dream 25 is amazing if you use it, you know, and I'm a guilty party. I blew it off. First time I ever heard it, I just kind of blew it off. And then second time I heard it, I thought, I think I'm going to try this for two reasons. One was, you know, I'd heard it, I should do it, it made sense. But the second was, I want to see if this guy's theory works, you know? So I've reached a point where I'm like, I'm going to challenge him. Not to prove him wrong, but I just want to see. Damn if it didn't. And it worked fast, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's that example of we're all searching. And you know, if I see somebody searching, I want to dig in and find out what you're searching for. I may not have the answer. I guarantee you, any people as I know, I'll find you somebody that does.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that I'm positive of.
If you don't know what the Dream 25 is that Sammy's referring to, it's essentially, it's a list of 25 people that you want in your life in some way, shape, or form. It could be doing business with, it could be, you know, really anything just involved in your life. And it's an extremely powerful tool because we've seen it over and over again of people writing this list down, having no idea how they're going to connect with these people. A lot of people on the list, you don't even know at the time. And part of it is putting that energy out there. Part of it is making it real by writing it down. And then your subconscious starts to go, okay, how do we connect the dots? But Sammy, you shared a few days ago in a Facebook group what your number one and number two were. And I want you to share that here because it was powerful of who your number one and number two were on your Dream 25.
To me, there's two people in my life that I want to get to know better, and I want to get to know them better every day. One of them I know for a fact I won't really get to know till I see, and that's God, and he's number one on my list. But I want to try to get to know him better and better every day, and I've made my share of mistakes and I have my faults, but I wake up every morning and I have my time, and I go to bed at night and I have my time. And I spend a lot of time in my truck driving. And so I have a lot of time in the truck, you know. It's like, okay, let me speak to God real quick, 'cause I really need a little help here or I need direction. And, you know, Ryan speaks of when you get kicked in the gut, basically by God, when you do things wrong and you're like, what did I do to deserve that? And it happens to me all the time. Buddy, I've learned I need to go ahead and correct it now and not make that same mistake twice. And the second one's my wife. I have people, when I say that, go, your wife, man, you ought to know her well. I'm like, I do, but I don't know certain things that we haven't seen together in life. We're 63, you know, and we're going to reach that point before too terribly long. I'd like to tell you that I'm going to live forever, but I'm real comfortable if I don't, because of where I'm going to go. But I don't know what's going to happen when we face those challenges of aging. And I don't know how she's going to respond. So I'm going to approach a person that is going to react a little different. And the more I know her, the better I'm going to be able to be for her. And she's the same way, you know. I don't know who's going to go first. But when that, I tell everybody jokingly, I say, I'm going to outlive her. I'm on a mission because I want to be able to get half of my money back. But that's all to ingest. But she's the second one on my list. I wake up every day and try to get to know her better. And I know her well, but we can all know each other a lot better.
Yeah. I want to dive into that a little bit. So coming from someone, you know, I got married when I was really young, got divorced. I've had terrible relationship choices over the years. a lot of them, you know, very much self-inflicted on my end. I was graced by God to find a woman that I married last year who is just phenomenal. And, you know, I think it's rare nowadays to see somebody married for as long as you've been married. So let's talk about that a little bit, as far as, you know, what insight you can share, what nuggets of wisdom you can share, that to really encourage, I think, other people to know that that's still possible. It can still happen.
Yeah. Man, you might cut me off here in a second, but when I married my wife, I was in love with my wife. Later in that marriage, or in our marriage, I learned how to fall in love with my wife. And there's two different things, you know. One, you love the idea of being married. The other, you'll do anything. You'll take a bullet for them and not think twice about it, you know. And I traveled, man, I went through about a 15-year period where I traveled 260 to 280 days a year.
Oh, wow.
And I watched my wife hold our house together. And there were many times along the way that, the two people I was most afraid to ever talk to, if my wife ever got an attorney, because he'd have me. And the second is my accountant on April 15th. I don't want to talk to those two people. But that strength that she just continually showed me, and it finally, I had to grow up enough to get my head out of my behind and realize that if I don't listen for the pop from the noise my head's going to make coming out of my butt, I'm going to lose the most valuable thing I ever got. And if you think about my past, she was given to me. I didn't find her.
Right.
She found me, you know, and she didn't find me because she was looking for me. Somebody said, this has to happen. And I didn't take the care of it that I did. But if I had to say one thing I did, and I'll tell everybody this, and every time I talk to young folks, when they say, how did your marriage make your marriage work? For me as a man, she was my girlfriend when I first met her. And I felt like the best thing I could ever do is continue to keep her as my girlfriend. And if you think about being a girlfriend and a boyfriend, that's when you talked, you know, that's when you're riding around on a date, you're going to the movie and you're laughing about things that you see, and you're talking about the movie you just saw and what kind of pizza do you want? And, you know, and so I see people now doing date nights and all that. And I think that's really, really good. If you recall, what brought you together was y'all communicated and you cared about the time with each other. And so that to me is the one thing that I can say that I did do. A lot of times I was buying diamonds because I was that stupid, but you know, I still drive down the road now. One of these days I'm gonna get arrested and I'll see a beautiful, bed of roses and I'll sneak on somebody's yard. You can't do this in big cities, but I'll sneak on somebody's yard and clip one of them, take it home to her, you know? So I think that's what I did all along, unbeknownst to me, now that I can look back and say, what I did was I never let her stop being my girlfriend. And in short, it's communicating. Yeah, some marriages don't work. I hate that, but that's just the case. They don't work. The key is that you learn from them and that the next one you go to does work, and you're open and you're honest. And I didn't learn the word open and honest until we had been married about 20 years. So I know that's critical. It's hard to do that, but I know that's critical. So I just never, it's not that I'd stop. I never stopped dating her. I just never stopped letting her be my girlfriend. You know, that was why I started even liking her. It's kind of cool. Sappy, but cool.
No, it's not. I don't think it's sappy at all. I think it's a great perspective. And, you know, a lot of things get said that become cliche. So they're like, keep dating your spouse. And then it becomes this cliche thing. But what you just said was like, remember all the little things, right? The laughing and the, what do you want to eat now? And okay, let's go do this. And, you know, you said the communication, right? Like two people don't come together without communication. There's no, you know, yeah. I mean, I guess you can swipe whatever on the apps.
You know? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But there's still some form of communication in there. And, you know, that's what we hear. People grow distant because they stop talking to each other. They stop communicating. And it totally makes sense. It all goes back to you just stopped wanting that person to continue to be yours. Just because they're yours today doesn't mean they're yours tomorrow.
No, that's right. And I think there is a possibility that people grow apart, but if you'll step up to the plate and be, you know, a man, because I'm a man, but just step up the plate and look back and go, why did we grow apart? You'll find out what to do better next, you know? And I think without a foundation at home, I would have never, ever, ever come close to success I came to, and I just took it for granted for a long time. Really did, but I've learned, you know, and I love sharing that story now, and I'm proud. I remember 25-30 years ago, I can remember, boy, my wife would call me and I'm off with a company deal and we're out with a bunch of guys playing golf, and she'd call me and I'd mumble, I love you, I'm gonna, you know. You know, my buddies may hear me say that to my wife. Now I'm proud to say it first. You know, maybe I'll make them say it. But those are things we grow and we learn. And just like what I originally say, people, man, we got to learn how to dig in and be people.
Yeah.
It's important.
It's funny. You talk about the saying, I love you thing. I had a client. So obviously I have a lot of Apex people in my gym, which means I have a lot of really good men who I get to train. And one of my female clients made a comment one day and she said, I really love how you guys all talk about your wives. She's like, every one of you are so adoring and complimentary. And I never hear you guys saying, oh, the old ball and chain or that, you know. She's like, I never hear any of that from any of you. And she's like, man, I love it.
Yeah, you know, if you think about that very statement, she probably wishes for that herself. And I'm sure she doesn't, but that's one of those things that you go, wow, we screwed up as men, not helping that person's spouse understand that. I'll never forget one day, my wife was at a yoga class here in Oxford. I'd come back into town. I got out a little early, you know? And so I thought I'd catch her and we'd go grab us a cup of coffee or something. And she was coming out of the yoga class and I was sitting at the end of this long area at the strip center. And I was just sitting there and she came walking towards me and I whistled at her, you know, like, hey, yeah. And I whistled at her and there were two ladies behind her. And both of those ladies went right past my wife and came right to me and said, that is the sweetest thing I've ever heard in my life. And they wanted to tell me before my wife got there. And if my husband would just do that. And I thought, gosh, I wish I could teach him. But you know how I learned it? That little lady right there taught it to me. And I told that to those gals. And boy, they were like, maybe we need to go home and do a little work, you know. But I'm proud of it. And I don't hide any of that anymore. I used to, but it's the strength that's driven me. And there's no doubt in my mind, those top two names on that Dream 25 list, that's what's driven me. I just didn't realize it. And I didn't take as much pride in it early on as I should have. And I'm where I'm at today because of that. There's no doubt about it. Buddy, I'm telling you, if you'd have met me when I was 15 years old, you'd have said, boy, that guy doesn't even know how to say hello. He's so shy. I was so shy. Oh, man. If a girl looked at me, I'd faint. I was so shy. But two people did one thing that changed my world. I just wish I'd have known it when I was 20 or when I was 17 or 16 when it really happened.
Right.
You know, we got married when we were 20. And I wish I'd have known that. And where would some people be if they learn how to know that early? Who knows? Some don't work. Just a given. But some might.
Yeah.
You know, I see people that get divorced and the first thing they say is, my wife and I are better friends now that we're not married. It's because you stopped being best friends when y'all were married.
Preach.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. So a couple more questions before we wrap up. You know, you're at a higher level of life than most of us. You're at level 63, I believe is what you said. And you know, a lot of the guys around us are, you know, like I'm 41, I think I'm in that range. So, you know, like I have big goals and aspirations and things like that, but what are yours? Do you still have those big, big things out there that you're like, I'm still going to go after that. I still want to accomplish more.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Everybody that knows me well will tell you that they're going to put me in the box at the office. You know, they're going to take my view of the office out of the office window and I'm going to become what's being viewed. I do. I want to grow my business. I want to leave everybody that's in the business with me, whether they're a partner or they're one of my lead folks. I have the business is set up so that the day I die, it's theirs. And they take the whole thing and run with it. So I have all that in place. What I want to do is triple the size of what we are today so that when the time comes, they got a bigger piece of pie and some more people have a piece of that pie. So my aspirations is to, I'd like to triple the size of our real estate sales agencies. Which would put us somewhere around 400 agents. We have about 130, 35 right now. I'd like to expand our mortgage business. I think we can expand it tenfold. It's going to take a little work, but I like work. My property management business is as big as it can get in this little town that we're in. We have about 2,500 properties, which is a lot in a little town like this. And I've got an idea on taking that to not another level, but to the stratosphere. And actually, I'm starting a meeting on Friday to start laying some groundwork to do that. And the only way I would be able to do that is to find the right people. Go back to people. Remember, here I am, people again.
Yep.
And I think I found the right people, and I think I found the right mix to do what I've been thinking about for 8 years. And the interesting thing is what I've been thinking about, nobody else has started doing it. So it's either bad, wrong, or going to be really good.
One or the other, nothing in the middle.
Yeah, but I want to grow my business dramatically. My kids don't want the business. They're doing other things and with their life, and they're very successful, and I'm very proud of them. But it's just the victory. I like looking over my shoulder going, man, we just won.
Yeah.
We hit it again, you know. It's just like you working with somebody. I sit there and watch you guys do what you do as fitness coaches and teaching and taking these people into a new level. And I'm getting better. I'm thinking about my health. I'm doing things better. I'm eating better. I'm cutting back on my volume, which is a huge deal for me. And I'm going to get there. I'm going to be calling you one day and saying, okay, I'm going to set up a gym in the house. Tell me what I need to do. Build me a plan. It's going to be me and my wife. That's not too far out, but I'm watching you, you know, and I'm watching you help people. And I'm thinking, well, how could I help him go where he wants to go? And I love that. But seeing what you're doing with some of these folks is just extremely impressive to me. So great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I've been coaching for 19 years, which is kind of crazy.
Wow.
And, wow. You know, you don't last that long in the fitness industry without loving what you do. And like you said, loving people. And, you know, there's many days it's the best part of my day is just being in that gym around everyone and just feeling the energy and seeing people push themselves to get better and, you know, tell me I'm number one when they leave. And
yeah, that's right. That's one of those deals that it's like, oh no. He really loved me. He meant that with love. Oh, and by the way, I am one of those elder statesmen at 63. I'm still feeling like I'm 41, but when you said 41, I probably got a pair of shoes that are 41 years old.
I love it. All right. I have one more question for you and then we'll wrap this up. So you've become more active on social media, which is great. You know, you're starting to put your wisdom out for the world to see.
That's tough.
If you knew that the next thing that you put out on social media would go viral, and I mean viral, like worldwide viral, what would you want that message to be?
Boy, you have been thinking. It might have a couple of parts in it. Let me see if I can say this. Wake up every day and make sure you speak to your God and love him. Number two is find that someone that's meant for you to be that solid foundation for life. You know, we build houses and skyscrapers on a little piece of concrete called foundation, and it holds all of that weight up. So find that foundation. And then the third is what I always say is wake up every day and understand the most valuable earthly resource asset we have is people. If you do that, you cannot lose. You cannot lose. I one of these days I'm going to sit down with and start making posts of people that have influenced my life, and it's little things, you know, but they were bold enough to get in my face and tell me, hey, wait a minute, you're not thinking right. Your head is stuck in your behind. And they took the time to tell me, and they took the time to help me without even knowing they did. But I can name every one of them. I can tell you the day it happened. I can tell you what their eyes looked like. I can tell you everything about it because everything that they did changed my life. That moment. Didn't like it in some instances, and I walked away mad.
Right.
But when I thought a little bit, it was like, man, they just changed my life. And so take that value of people. That's where I would say. But I don't know if that goes viral, but I just hope that one day everybody wakes up and says, my neighbor means something. Thanks. Both ways.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, Sammy, you know, I told you the other day, you are a treasure. I'm very honored to have your time today. You know, time's the one resource none of us ever get back. So anyone willing to spend time with me, I'm very grateful for that. So thank you so much. Thank you for just being open and sharing. And, you know, I hope if you're listening to this, you know, go back and listen again, take some notes, just so much wisdom. And we have to, I think all of us have to do a better job of just learning from those around us, because that's where the value really is. Like Sammy said, all about the people.
That's right.
So
thank you. What an honor.
I appreciate it. Again, if you are listening, make sure you subscribe, leave a review. Let us know what you thought of this episode for sure. And until next time, get out there and make good choices.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. If you would like to get a copy of my book, Make Good Choices, head on over to the Amazons, type in Make Good Choices or my name. should come up in either place. If you would like to connect with me for health and fitness coaching, shoot me an email at info@markzfitness.com or shoot me a text, 214-418-8872. That's the only phone number I got. It's been out there for a really long time. Hope you enjoyed the show. And until next time, keep on making good choices.